welcome each and every one of you today. We have a handful of announcements. First of all, after the service, there are a couple of things going on. There's the Mardi Gras meal downstairs, and the band, I don't know, are they going to play when the saints come marching in for the Mardi Gras? But the band practice is happening today, too. There's still a few vegetable soups available. For lifting up in prayers, if you would keep Deb Flint and especially Mary Lou Hazard. Now, Deb is Mary Lou's sister-in-law. So please keep them all in your prayers and their family. And Steve Bohoric also, he's got some things coming this week. So keep them all in your prayers, please, as well as the ones listed. Are there others that you would want mentioned that are not on the list already? Okay. A couple of things happening. We have Crucifer today because this is Transfiguration of our Lord Sunday. So it is a special Sunday. If you've noticed, I've been assigning crucifers on and off. It has to do with festival Sundays or special times of the church year. And additionally, some other things that you may have noticed happening. Routinely now, we're putting the communion elements in the back of the church, and the ushers are bringing them forward. Now, that has to do with the symbolic meaning of bringing the meal forward with the offering. And that dates back 2,000 years. So these things aren't new, but it's something that we're looking at and doing periodically. Again, you send me to Gettysburg, these things happen. I come up with ideas. But no, seriously, that's the symbolism. And speaking of symbolisms, we don't worship the symbols. We worship God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. So we want to keep that in mind. And if some Sunday the elements are already up here, it doesn't matter. What matters is that we are receiving the meal that Jesus invites us to. How it gets here, that's the symbolism, but that's not what it is. One last little thing. The heating and air conditioning is to a point that sometime this week they will be turning on the system in this room. You can see vents here now. The one set of vents along the side, the Washington Avenue side, aren't installed yet. That's actually, we've always been in a two-part system here. But they will be testing that, working on it, and fine-tuning it. So we are looking at probably full implementation, certainly by Easter. So it's been a wonderful winter that way in that we're getting a lot of work done there. I think that's it. Are there any other announcements for the congregation? If not, let us prepare ourselves for the worship by going on to the prelude. Thank you. baptize as you are able for the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the eternal voice from heaven, the anointed and beloved one, the Spirit moving over the waters. As we approach the mystery of God, let us come in confession, trusting the love of Christ crucified and risen. God, who searches us and knows us, you have shown us what is good, but we have looked to other lights to find our way. We have not been just in our dealings with others. We have chosen revenge over mercy. We have promoted ourselves instead of walking humbly with you. With what shall we come before you? Forgive us our sin and show us your salvation in the face of Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Beloved of God, you have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, poured out for you in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Receive the promise of baptism. You are God's child. Your sins are forgiven. Rejoice and be glad, for yours is the reign of heaven. Amen. Amen. The boundless grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God, and the light of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, and for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Set us free.
Let us pray. O God, in the transfiguration of your Son, you confirm the mysteries by the faith, by the witness of Moses and Elijah, and in the voice from the bright cloud, declaring Jesus your beloved Son. You foreshadowed our adoption as your children. Make us heirs with Christ of your glory, and bring us to enjoy its fullness through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from Exodus chapter 24. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is Psalm 2. Why are the nations in an uproar? Why do the peoples mutter empty threats?
Why do the kings of the earth rise up in revolt, and the princes plot together against the Lord and against the Lord's anointed?
Let us break their yoke, they say. Let us cast off their bonds from us.
God has served them. The Lord holds them.
Then in wrath, God speaks to them, and in rage fills them with terror.
As for me, I have anointed my king on Zion, my holy mountain.
Let me announce the decree of the Lord, who said to me, "You are my son. This day I have I begotten you." You shall crush them with an iron rod and shatter them like a piece of pottery.
And now, if the kings be wise, be warned, you will lose your earth.
Submit to the Lord with fear and with trembling, bow and worship.
Let the Lord be angry, and you perish in a sudden blaze of wrath. Happy are all who take refuge in God.
The second reading is from 2 Peter chapter 1. We did follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the chapter. And Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and the voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. Very good. The transfiguration of Jesus coming in our scripture readings the last Sunday of Epiphany. And that is the way it is. The last Sunday of Epiphany is the Transfiguration Sunday every year. Different versions, different times of the year, or of the scripture of the Bible. So when does the transfiguration take place? After all, we're getting ready to enter the season of Lent. Tradition has it we give things up for Lent. Lent's a time of preparation, getting ready for the Passion of our Lord. But when does the transfiguration happen? There are a few of these scattered around. If you're near one, you can pick it up. And I would invite you, even if you don't have one now, check on it later. But I say these. The Good News Bible has nice headings for each chapter. So you go to the book of Matthew, and in the beginning, of course, of Matthew, talks about the ancestry of Jesus, then the birth of Jesus, and so on. Flight into Egypt, remember we talked about that this year. Okay. And then it goes on to, in chapter 3, the baptism of Jesus, temptation of Jesus, Sermon on the Mount. There's the stained glass picture of that. Different teachings. Jesus is beginning his ministry. We still haven't gotten there yet. Remember, we're looking for what chapter? 17. Yeah, I heard a 17 pop up. Okay, we've got lots of teachings and preachings, possessions, narrow gate, a tree and its fruit, on and on. Jesus heals, calms a storm. We're just cruising right along here. We still haven't gotten to chapter 17. 12 apostles chosen from his disciples. I thought they were both the same. Someday we'll talk about that again. Okay? Messengers from John the Baptist, unbelieving towns. What happens there? Man, paralyzed. We're still not there. Evil spirits, parable of the sower. Lots of parables in chapter 13. Death of John the Baptist. We're still not there. And then eventually we come to chapter 17. Transfiguration, but we're still a number of chapters in Matthew away from riding into Jerusalem. So we've got a ways to go. This is happening not just days before going into Jerusalem, but basically halfway through his ministry. And what's being said? Well, you heard the voice from the cloud. What did that sound like a month and a half ago? Remember, who were you one of the ones that helped pour the water? Nick, you weren't, but you saw that, right? No? You girls, you poured water. That's right. You held the mic. Remember, that was what day? I'll give you a hint. Baptism of our Lord. Baptism of Jesus. Okay? On that Sunday, we celebrated the day Jesus was baptized. Okay? So a lot has happened since then, but what happened that day was a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased." Now there's a phrase added here. Listen to him. You see, we're halfway through the ministry, so this is what's going on. Well, why did Jesus go up the mountain? We see in one of the other Gospels, Luke, I believe it is, Jesus went up there to pray. Jesus wanted to pray, too. We ask every Sunday, pray. We trust that through the week you are praying every day. So Jesus went up to pray. What was he praying about? We can catch a glimmer of this. Who met him up there? What two guys met him? Moses and Elijah. Now Moses was the supreme lawgiver, Ten Commandments guy. Elijah was like the prophet of the prophets. He was the main big prophet. So Moses and Elijah conferred with Jesus. And Jesus, we can only speculate, but probably found out from the lawgiver, the prophets of prophet, and God that yes, Jesus is the Son of God, in whom God is well pleased. So what it means is Jesus is on the right path. And we can speculate that that's what Jesus was wanting to know from God. Am I doing God's will? Now, what's that mean for us? How can we know for sure or find out or seek the word and will of God? Well, just as Jesus did, we pray for it. We talk to others. We seek out. How many times do we wish for the will of God? And that's what we're doing. Or how many times do we just wish for our own will in things? That's kind of a $64 million question. How do we know God's will? Now, some of you have heard some of what I'm about to say or describe. But you know, I'm up here now because I believe in the will of God. And for 40 or 50, closer to 50 years, I followed other paths. Some of you were talking and you read the obituary for Mary Ernest. A lifelong member here, was teaching Sunday school at the age of 12. My first teaching of Sunday school was at the age of 15. Okay? I got in a little after Mary did there. And throughout those 40, 50 years, I found ways to serve. To serve here at Messiah, to serve beyond the walls of Messiah. We'll get to that in a second, too. But all those years, I was doing other things. Now, I'd like to think when I look back on that, that God was preparing me in other ways. You know, teachers usually are not afraid to stand up and speak to groups. So those of you that are teachers, I could have you up here next week doing speaking, right? I said, I still see some. Well, anyway, at one time or another, and others do too. Others have talents. Notice I said I can be up here speaking. Even though Andrea is throwing things at me to start singing at times, i.e. chanting, and she tells me I can, encourages me, I don't feel that calling yet. Okay? Yet. One of these days. But getting back on track, Jesus, God, Messiah, the congregation, and finally, chairman of the call committee came to me about a year and a month ago. Why is everybody looking at Clinton? I don't know. But and here I am. Okay? But all these folks were working, preparing, and finally, through prayer and discussion, you know, I too discussed with a Moses and an Elijah. I'll let you figure out which one Bishop Collins was. You can ask her Wednesday night at Trinity, at the Ash Wednesday service. Ask her if she is Moses or Elijah. But anyway, it is a question that we all must ask. What is God's will for me? It's not the same for everybody. We could have 50, 60 different answers to that question, and they would all be right. And it doesn't matter whether we are 9 or 10 or 11 or 20 or 30 or 40, 50, 66 or more. God has a will for us. And that is what we must search for and understand and pray and ask. And understand that the will of God isn't just here. It isn't just coming Sunday morning and being part of a worship service and praising God and thanking God. But it goes beyond the church. Our ministry is not just here. And it is not just associated with church. Not just associated with prayer or meditation. But it goes far beyond all that. And to close, a bit of a prayer along those lines. Let us pray. Help me, Lord, to remember that religion is not to be confined to the church or the closet, nor exercised only in prayer and meditation, but that everywhere we are present, the will of God is part of us and part of our surroundings. Amen. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Trusting that God hears us, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Holy God, your loving power is at work among us. Rouse and embolden your church that we too might be transfigured, set alight in the world for the sake of the gospel. Hear us, O God. Awesome God, you speak and the earth trembles. You display your majesty in the mountains and your mystery in the clouds. Grant that we discover your magnificence in all your created world. Hear us, O God. Gracious God, you are a refuge for all who are neglected and abused. Bring freedom to those who are oppressed and give comfort to those experiencing pain of any kind. Today, we pray especially for our shut-ins, the sick, and those who are in need of our prayers, compassion, and care, and who are listed in the prayer list located in the announcement sections of our bulletin. Are there others for whom we should pray? Lord, we pray especially for Deb Flint and Mary Lou, their families, for Guy Dillman, for Steve Bohoric also. For those mentioned here and mentioned in the silence of our hearts, hear us, O God. God of Moses and Elijah, you made your dwelling places at the top of a mountain with Jesus and his disciples. Dwell also in this congregation that all who enter this community might be transformed by your dazzling brilliance. Hear us, O God. Everlasting God, you offer eternal life to all your children. Thank you for the witness of those who lived and died in the faith. Hear us, O God. Confident that you are able to accomplish more than we ever dare to ask, we bring these prayers before you, believing in your saving grace revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the peace of Jesus be with you always. And let us share with one another the peace of Jesus. Let us pray. God of wonder, you formed us in your mother's womb, and from Mother Earth you bring forth this bread and wine. We place them on your table together with our lives and all that you have made. Open the heavens to us and pour out your Spirit. We wait for your mercy. We long for your peace. We hunger and thirst for Jesus Christ, our banquet of life. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, sharing our life, he lived among us and revealed your glory and love, that our darkness should give way to his own brilliant light. And so, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. O God most mighty, O God most merciful, O God our rock and our salvation, hear us as we praise, call us to your table, and grant us your life. Remembering his salutary precept and all that he endured for us, his passion and death, his resurrection and ascension, his session on the right hand, and his glorious coming again, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. And we offer to you, according to your institution, these your gifts of bread and wine, giving thanks to you through him that you have deemed us worthy to stand before you at your table. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." O God, you are breath. Send your spirit on this meal. O God, you are bread. Feed us with yourself. O God, you are wine. Warm our hearts and make us one. O God, you are fire. Transform us as we hope. Grant us life, the life of the Father to the Son, the life of the Spirit of our risen Savior, life in you, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Come to this table of mercy and joy. And now come to the table of Jesus. Please rise. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Let us pray. Faithful God, you have kept your promise to us in this meal, nourishing us with the gift of salvation. Now send your servants forth in peace, that we may testify to your goodness and share the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. May Christ, the wisdom and power of God, and the source of our life together, keep you united in mind and purpose. And the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you always. As we are sent forth this week, let us remember a Lenten tea Wednesday morning here at Messiah, beginning at 9:30 with Bible study at 10, and the Ash Wednesday service Wednesday evening at 7 at Trinity in McAllisterville. Now, may you all go in peace. Let our light shine.
Thanks be to God.